Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Polillo and Josh Jordan. You can follow them on X at Polillo and at JoshJordan975. And in between our episodes here, you can read their blogs over on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, Houston's off the mat, but the blows keep coming as another leverage arm hits the IL. While most of the returning pitchers needed Google Maps, a GPS compass, and a service dog to find the strike zone, Charlie, Josh, welcome in. Under normal circumstances, I can't say we would feel such elation after taking three of four from a last place team, but these aren't normal circumstances as Houston is fighting and clawing for every win they can muster during this home stretch of the season. We talked last episode about how the pitching depth being challenged, the offense would need to do more of the heavy lifting. They did in this series, scoring 28 runs over the four-game set, not before losing their new setup guy to the IL, though, with the old dreaded elbow inflammation. We'll get to Sousa in a second, but before that, let's get your reactions to what we saw in Baltimore. Charlie, we start with you.
Well, extremely welcomed off day Monday ahead of the Rockies being in town. It was a good weekend. Another case of, oh, had a chance for the sweep, left that last bit of money on the table, but three out of four against a Baltimore team that smoked the Astros two out of three here a weekend prior. The Astros went into that four-game series carrying a game and a half lead over the Mariners. They start the new week two games ahead of the Mariners. So a plus there after Seattle took two of three over the Athletics while the Astros were taking three of four from the Orioles. I mean, there's a whole lot of keep those fingers crossed with the state of the rotation and the bullpen. But for those who are reaching for the ripcord that, oh, the Astros were inevitably falling apart, they're done. As brutal as the offense was, it's a roller coaster ride of a season. So they go off in multiple games against the Orioles. On the one hand, no cause for a great celebration. The Orioles are 27th in Major League Baseball in ERA. Yeah, well, they snuffed the Astros in the series at Daikin Park. So any port in a storm.
Yep.
And given how terrible McCullers was and how terrible Javier was, a very timely power production, especially the three homers in the first inning on Saturday. And then you wind up needing Brian Abreu to close that game anyway. But Christian Walker, homer, 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 the first three games of the series. So look, this team is not remotely close to being a superpower. Are they going to be able to grunt and grind enough to, A, hold off the Mariners? I think that's about a coin flip with the Astros holding the two-game lead going into Tuesday's play. But this was a huge weekend for the Astros for the floor of reaching the postseason. The Royals, their first little hiccup since the All-Star break. Now, granted, they were playing the Tigers, who obliterated the Astros, and then took two out of three from the Royals. So the Astros, five games ahead of Kansas City, which at this point would be the, uh-oh, if you drop below the Royals, you're out, right? Red Sox, Yankees, Astros, all in a tight, tight cluster. If the Mariners are to win the division, the team the Astros absolutely must finish ahead of, the Royals. I mean, the Rangers are very, very faintly alive, 6.5 back of the Astros. But gaining ground on the Royals, maybe that turns out to be the biggest storyline of the weekend for the Astros in terms of the standings, the last weekend, full weekend of August.
For me, it was nice to kind of see what this offense is actually capable of. Even without Yordan, they explode. And what, you score two runs for the entire Tigers series, and then you come out in the first three games against the Orioles, score 7, 9, 10 runs, and you needed most of those runs to win those games. The Orioles were scrappy, man. They were fighting back. And, you know, we discussed all the issues with Javier and McCullers and the bullpen. So just glad they got out of there with three wins. They needed those. And that would have really hurt if you get those five runs to Javier and then he coughs it up and then you lose that game. I was so frustrated watching that with Javier. I'm just couldn't find the plate. And we talked about this when he came up. He struggled with that in the minors. We'll get to the pitching a little later. But for me, it was all about the offense this week. And the guys that are going off, no surprise, Correa's leading the team, hitting 370 OPS over 900. And the other guys, Jesus Sanchez, finally starting to get going after that awful slump. Over the last 7 days, OPS over 1,000. Caratini's is almost 1,000. And then Diaz and, of course, Christian Walker. Christian Walker, OPS over 900 over the last week. So now we're really seeing what can happen when you get Correa going. And even Altuve hadn't done much this week. Hasn't really mattered. The other guys have been picking up the slack. So hopefully they're getting in the flow. The offense is starting to click. And this is something that we continue to see. Because once Peña heats up a little bit in Altuve, they should be in a good spot. And we'll get to the pitching. That's where my concern really lies. I thought the offense would be okay. And sure enough, after a bad series against the Tigers, they looked really good against Baltimore.
Cam Smith should not be in the lineup anymore. So against right-handed pitching, Sanchez in right, Cam Smith sits. That's starting to become the norm. Yordan DHs, Altuve's either in left or at second base. Dubon is in an outfield spot, or if Altuve's in left, Urias at second. As a bunch of guys perked up at least somewhat over the course of 7 days, right? Sanchez packed his 1,000 OPS largely into the one game, the 5-for-5. But Cam Smith, he couldn't hit water falling out of a boat. 0 for his last 17 with 9 Ks. Last 34 games, batting 132 with an OPS of 390. Somewhere Martin Maldonado's cackling, "You stink, buddy." Hey, he may go on to be a fine player, but right now, I don't care if he's batting ninth. He does not belong in their lineup. You're certainly not going to have him in the lineup in the postseason unless he rises from the dead. The margins are very close. The guys who comprise your best lineup, other than the still needed occasional off day, Cam Smith needs to sit. I mean, the bubble has entirely burst on his rookie season. I mean, it feels like 2 years ago that maybe he's alive in the rookie of the year race and the Astros get a bonus draft pick out of it. No, I'm
with you, Charlie, actually on both fronts. I think Cam really would benefit from taking some time, certainly helped Kyle Tucker. And I have a hard time rationalizing Yordan taking more ABs in the minors. Look, if you're looking to ease him back with the big club, as you mentioned, Charlie, Houston finally gets that day off on Monday, then hosts the Rockies Tuesday, fresh off being swept by the Pirates. And then they have that Angel series. That series currently lines up as Brown, Valdez, and Alexander. They might seriously consider breaking up those guys to spread out some more of the length, given the volatility of guys like McCullers and Javier and Arrigetti, although Arrigetti did have a fine start on Sunday. It's wild to say that Jason Alexander is one of your more reliable rotation guys, but this team is at the Craig Kimbrell as leverage reliever point of desperation right now. No Hader, no Sousa. It's Bryan Abreu and the land of misfit toys in the bullpen. So let's talk about it. What's your concern level that this team can find length in their staff to get through games without Joe Espada having to call on Chaz McCormick to eat innings?
How can it not be high? Right, Hunter Brown is the surest thing at this point. Fromber figures to emerge from his funk. I mean, at home against the Rockies, if not then, when? And then there's Alexander the Great. Right, you hope the clock doesn't strike midnight on him over this final month of the season. After that, eesh. And then the trickle-down effect of the bullpen that you needed to get into it in the third inning in the Javier start, and that if McCullers goes five innings, it's party time. So you're going to do it or you don't. They now play 13 days in a row starting Tuesday. I don't think you go Brown 4 days, Valdez 4 days. So you stay six-man through the weekend against the Angels. McCullers gets another start. Certainly Javier is going to get another start. Arrigetti off a very credible start against the Orioles. He's going to get another start. And then maybe you have decisions on who comes out. I think at this point, we'd probably agree it's a small miracle if on merit Luis Garcia comes in. So this is the sextet who are going to make the remaining starts for the Astros. How many times do they go six men through is the question. I'd be very surprised if it's not at least one more full turn with a stretch of 13 games in 13 days.
Espada's going to have to get creative here and use some guys he's not as familiar with. I think De Los Santos has actually looked pretty good since he joined the team. I thought that was a good addition. And I mean, over the past month, his ERA is in the ones. Of course, he's only pitched six innings, but he's been good. So Brian King is kind of why I'm getting at this, is he's given up the long ball a lot. Left-handers are really getting to him. And if you look at him over the last month, his ERA is almost 5 at 4.76. And then Okert's kind of in the same boat over the last month. His ERA is about 4.6. So, I mean, that's not going to kill you, but it's not great. So it's going to be tougher here. There's no doubt about it, but it's going to be really tough when Christian Javier can only give you two innings. And then when you see what McCullers did, and I'm actually kind of okay with what McCullers did. It's Javier where I'm just like, dude, he did this in the minors. I looked it up. He had 10 walks in less than 10 innings when he pitched with AAA. So this was a thing where he was walking somebody pretty much every inning. He had four walks in the two innings for the Astros. And I think what bothers me, and I saw this with Ort the other day when he walked in the winning run a few nights ago, you know, on 2-2, he threw a pitch that wasn't even close with the bases loaded, the game on the line. And on 3-2, he throws another slider that wasn't even really close to the zone. I'm just shocked how many times on 2-2 the Astros pitchers decide to just bury something in the dirt that's not even close, or it's a fastball above your head so the hitter doesn't even have to really think about it. I'd just like to see them a little, try to avoid those walks a little more. I know, who am I to judge how the Astros do their pitching? They're the best in the business. But it is something I notice over and over again on 2-2. They very often throw in just a pitch that's not even close. And then on 3-2, they kind of follow that up. Especially with guys on base, I'd like to see them try and find the strike zone a little more. Make the guys earn it. Make them hit to get on base.
Hunter Brown doesn't have problems with it. When yeah. Framber Valdez is right, he doesn't. The Javiers, McCullers, Arrighetti's of the world just don't have that kind of quality command. I was shocked, though, Josh, to follow on your point that Ort came back 3-2 with the same pitch. Some of that on the catcher for calling that pitch. You know, Caleb Ort's not exactly the ironclad veteran. Oh, he just shakes off the catcher and I'm in charge when I'm on the mound. But so it goes. I mentioned earlier, next weekend's the last full weekend of August. For those who want to get picky on the calendar, I'm talking baseball weekend. It's a four-game wraparound series with the Angels through Monday, holiday weekend. Monday, September 1st, the Astros will have one additional body added to their pitching staff for the final month of the season. You only expand the rosters by two players from 26 to 28. One of them can become a pitcher, so they will get a 14th body for the staff on Monday.
You would think it'd be AJ Blueball, considering what they saw from him. He absolutely saved their butt. Four innings pitched, two earned runs, and four strikeouts. Desperately needed production. And I worry because Joe Espada has relied heavily on the back end of the bullpen because they've needed it. But then you have Hader go down and Sousa go down with arm issues. How many more times can they go to Brian Abreu for multi-inning saves? In my opinion, they just can't afford to put him in harm's way. And I know they're trying to win every game they can, but you have to protect that guy at all costs, because if he goes down because you overuse him, and I'm not saying Hader and Sousa's injuries are on Joe Espada, but I do think there is correlation to the amount of usage those guys were getting to where they're currently at right now. I think at this point, you have to be super careful with Brian Abreu and how you use him. So look, we have the benefit of hindsight now. Dana Brown did not. But do you think at the trade deadline, Brown was being overly optimistic by counting on getting enough from the returning arms to fill their pitching needs?
Yes. One, in terms of who would get back and when. And then of more significance, qualitatively, that Javier was going to come back and, hey, it's 2022 all over again. No reason to think that. Javier was not a good pitcher in 2023. And then was off to start in 2024 when the arm fell off. Arrighetti was outstanding after the All-Star break last season, but that's a very small career sample size. And McCullers, I mean, if you're going to invest much faith in him at this point, well, it's a nice tract of swampland we might have interest in trying to sell to you. But what I would tie into this is once Jim Crane said, okay, we're not going to be able to stay below the tax threshold unless we're going to play a pat hand. And I don't like my hand good enough to do that. So go ahead, Dana Brown, make the Correa deal, puts the Astros over the tax. Sanchez, a much lesser financial add-on there. But once they went over, I think it's a little bit in for a dime, in for a dollar. It's not like they would have been approaching the second threshold. You look at the Rangers, it's not going to help put them in the playoffs, but Merrill Kelly, good ad for them. Charlie Morton, doing very well for the Tigers. Didn't cost a premium. He's a 41-year-old pitcher who had an ERA of 5, been better the last couple of months. But we always need to add the caveat with the pathetic state of the Astros farm system. Could they have made an offer for Charlie Morton that the Orioles say, okay, we'll take that, as opposed to the Tigers' offer? Could they have offered for Merrill Kelly something that the Diamondbacks would have said, okay, we'll take that, instead of the Rangers' offer? But I don't think the Astros made offers for those kind of guys, thinking the Javiers and Arrigettis of the world, oh, they can cover there. We're going to take a big shot at Dylan Cease and think we can do our work with him, but they weren't willing to meet the prospect price there with Bryce Matthews and Arrigetti supposedly being the Padres' ask. But the lower tier pitchers, I think that Dana made the decision, yeah, we're good with what we have, and they don't look like they really are good enough.
I agree with Charlie. I think they went big game hunting with Cease when maybe they just needed a more of a mid-tier type pitcher, just another arm, a back end of the rotation type guy. That, because we saw none of the big aces got moved at the deadline. All the GMs said, like, prices were just too high. And even Dana said he tried to get Cease. But as Charlie mentioned, if you're trying to add pitching and you have to give away Arrigetti to go get Cease, you're losing depth in that move. So I understand why he didn't want to do that. They are where they are. That's the bottom line. They've done this before. We brought up Lorenzen and other pitchers before different seasons as guys they should add as depth, and they just haven't done that. We haven't even brought up JP France. He just went to AAA. I don't even think he's part of the plans right now. So we'll see how they come back, but a lot of it, you got to get these guys to focus and throw some more strikes because they're not going anywhere. Christian Javier is going to continue to pitch. So is McCullers. You got to get them to focus. And, you know, Brandon, you brought up AJ Blueball and the success that he's had. When he's pitched multiple innings for the Astros, every single one of those starts, he's only had one walk. That's a huge part of it. Don't put guys on base unnecessarily because that it always comes back to bite you. So I can't really blame Dana. He says he describes himself as an optimistic person. So I can't fault him for that. Also, we have to give it a little time, right? Espada said this after Javier's start. Like, guys, we knew there'd be some bumps in the road with him coming back from TJ. We're pretty early in that process. So hopefully things look a little better here in a few weeks. And Javier and McCullers have shown some improvement.
Remember last year, they may not have made the playoffs if they did not add Yusei Kikuchi, who became the number three starter behind Hunter Brown and Fromber. They have no one other than the current magic carpet ride of Jason Alexander, who doesn't have the bona fides that you're saying, of course, he's a number three starter. That, of course, that's a guy you want to start in game three of a playoff series. I think that was the baseline if they were going to trade for a starter, a guy who, no doubt about it, you'd slot behind Brown and Fromber in the playoffs. Dylan Cease would have met that definition, couldn't make the trade. Frankly, I think Merrill Kelly would have met that definition. 37 years old, free agent to be. He'd have been a temp. Charlie Morton may have met that definition also. But for whatever factor or factors, they did not acquire anybody.
I don't know. I agree with the big game hunting thing. I look at what this team has been able to do with Jason Alexander. So even if they could have just brought in a bona fide length guy that they could have plugged in somewhere, I think it would have benefited this team. But again, we are operating with the benefit of hindsight. I do agree that there is still the possibility that one of those three guys, either McCullers, Javier, Arrigetti, I think it's probably going to be more likely Arrigetti, can be stable and reliable. But if you can get Javier back right in some form or fashion to at least be able to get you five innings, because this team just can't afford to find it and experiment with these guys because it puts so much pressure on a bullpen that's already depleted. This team feels right now like the 2021 team did, where they've got some good pieces, but just don't seem like they have enough pitching to get where they need to go. But that team made the World Series, and I don't know that this team is going to be able to do that because this lineup is going to have to be better and not produce like the 2024 lineup did. One topic before we go that's been floating around there because Rob Manfred has been soft selling the idea, possibility of division realignment with the potential of expansion. Houston has certainly been the beneficiary of a soft division over the past several years. as it's currently constructed. So that being said, what's your interest in a possible realignment in MLB?
Second year in a row, the American League West is the only division that the Astros would win. Last year, it was the case at the end, and it is the case as we enter the final days of August. It's inevitable. They're going to add two expansion teams to get the league to 32, if not by the end of the decade, early probably in the 2030s. So it's not right around the corner. I think they're probably going to go to the NFL model of 8-4-team divisions. I'm afraid they're going to add more playoff teams, more playoff inventory, because the schedule, the most natural schedule on this is you play 12 games each against your three divisional opponents. You play six games against the rest of the teams in your league. There'd be three other four-team divisions, so 12 teams. You play one three-game series at home, one three-game series on the road, and then you play one three-game series against each of the 16 National League teams, or whatever they call the leagues after all this. That would add up to a 156-game schedule. Well, that would chop 1 week off of the regular season and add a week for more postseason baseball. A division of Astros, Rangers, and Cardinals, Royals, Diamondbacks, and Rockies. I'm not going to stomp my feet, you know, and for those who are going, oh, no, ruination of baseball. Yeah, a lot of the same people when the Astros moved to the American League, I'll never watch them again. Well, then you've missed a hell of a decade since then. The designated hitter for everybody and ruined the sport. So whatever happens, happens. I just don't want it to wind up that each of four division winners get in, and then the four next best records are wild cards, and you have an 8-team tournament in each league, which means 16 out of 32 teams are in the playoffs. That would feel too NBA-ish to me.
Yeah, I remember liking it when the Astros moved to the AL. I thought it was cool. I was a fan of AL baseball at the time. I watched a lot of Yankees versus Red Sox, and I was like, man, that'd be cool if one day the Astros were going head-to-head against the Yankees or Red Sox, and sure enough, we got to see that, and it's been pretty awesome. Overall,
and created a real rivalry with the Rangers being in the same division, yes, as opposed to the little carnival silver boot thing.
Yes. Yeah, yes. And I mean, you just see it now. I mean, look what happens when Altuve walks into Yankee Stadium. It's pretty amazing how things have changed. I guess the one thing that wouldn't bother me too much is the travel for the guys. I'm sure they don't enjoy having to fly all the way to Seattle. It's not like Seattle is close at all to Houston, Texas. For us as media members, not having to stay up and watch West Coast games, that would be one of the benefits. But I kind of like the way they're doing it right now, but we know how it is. Baseball is going to find new ways to make money, and they don't really care about my opinion, but I like the way it is. I won't be surprised if it changes. I just won't. They're all about that. All these leagues are consistently growing, and does baseball need another two teams to kind of water down the product even more? I think that's another thing to consider here too.
Yeah,
I know they're going to charge $5 billion per expansion franchise, so they'll crunch the numbers and count the beans and dividing the network television contracts 32 ways as opposed to 30. But when the current owners say, wait, we'll get $10 billion, $12 billion up front in franchise fees, bring on Salt Lake City and Portland, or whichever two cities, and geographically, there'll certainly be another team in the West, because you're going to go to the Mariners are going to need another West Coast or Mountain Time Zone partner, at least, you know, Mariners, Rockies, Salt Lake, or Portland, and Las Vegas. But yeah, it would cut down the number of late night Astros telecasts if you're only playing three games on the road against Seattle per year. Against the A's per year. Again, we're still several years away from this coming to pass, but it is coming.
I agree with Josh. If we're talking about dividing up divisions by more regional opponents, I'm all for not having to stay up late for divisional games on the West Coast, whether it's the Mariners or Angels or whatever. But I do want to see the Astros stay in the AL for all the reasons you guys mentioned. They have established rivalries now. I think that's a non-negotiable, which I don't think is going to be in question, but crazier things have happened. Final thoughts before we're out the door.
The Colorado Rockies are an atrocity, but they've been less atrocious over the last month or so within shouting distance of 500. That said, the Astros have Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez going against starting pitchers with earned run averages of 7.11 and 6.90. That's not all about the thin air of Denver. And then it's Alexander the Great in the Thursday matinee against TBA, as the Rockies will be scraping barnacles somewhere to come up with a starting pitcher for that game. That said, the Astros in a 3-2 loss to Baltimore Sunday, that was their 66th game this season, scoring three or fewer runs. They had the amazingly good record early. They've now lost 19 of their last 20 games when they haven't scored at least four runs. You better score four each time you go up against the Rockies, and it's not like the Angels have some world-beating pitching staff coming in here for four over the weekend. The next time the Astros do not score four will be the 67th time. That was their total of all last season. And this is with 31 games to go. So Jordan ASAP, he's not going to stave off them going past 67 times with three or fewer runs scored. But if they're really waiting until Labor Day, me thinks that very stupid.
No doubt about it. My final thoughts just on Christian Javier. I think he's going to be okay, guys. I think we got a little spoiled. He comes back in his first appearance from Tommy John surgery. He gives you five innings against the Red Sox and only gave up a couple runs. He looked so good in that first start. We were thinking like, hey, we can get used to this. And then, you know, we had the short start, you know, where he had the illness, and then we see him back in this start here where he only goes a couple innings. The one silver lining, I think, is we were concerned about his velo in that second start. Remember, he was 89, 90, where the fastball was. Even though this was a poor outing recently, at least I saw him hit 94 miles an hour on the gun. So hopefully this isn't a deal where his velo is not back where it used to be. Hopefully this is just a blip, and he'll get things rolling here soon.
My concern with Javier is more about location than velo, as he wasn't nibbling the corners as much. He was gobbling the batter's boxes on both sides. And my other final thought is we have a quick programming note. We're going to be live after Thursday's finale against the Rockies. Sometimes around 5:30, we'll be live on YouTube. So catch us here for that. Also on YouTube, the three of us will be reacting to Texans roster cuts on Wednesday. So be sure you're subscribed to SportsMap Texans to catch that. One last reminder, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcast apps like Apple or Spotify, give us a 5-star rating while you're here. Make sure you subscribe to the channel with those notifications on. For Charlie and Josh, I'm Brandon saying so long. Thanks for listening. And as always, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.